Welcome back to another episode of the Post-Sermon Reflection Podcast, where we want to help you apply Sunday morning learning into Monday morning living as we connect others to the love of Jesus and help them live on gospel mission. My name is Ruth, and I'm joined by two awesome friends, Audley and Mark. It is Audley's first time. Give us a hello.
Hey.
What's up?
How's it going, everybody?
I love it. And Mark is an old faithful. We're always happy to have him. Always blessed. And we're going to be talking about a passage from 2 Corinthians today, and we are in the middle of our body sermon series where we're talking about the universal church as well as the church local. And so as we hop in, friends, if you are not subscribed, we would love for you to subscribe. What it does is it notifies you every time there's a new episode and it helps us know who we are reaching. And so you can subscribe. And then if it's a blessing to you, you're welcome to share it with a friend. And so I would love Audley to hit us with that recap. He's going to read the passage and then we're going to chat about what God taught us.
Passage says 2 Corinthians 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ.
Read two more verses for me. Read 6 and 7 for me.
Sure. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer.
That is so good. Well, maybe one more.
Yes. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort.
Mm. So kind to think about, like, Christ coming near to us and sharing in our comfort. And so, Mark, I would love to hear what stuck out to you in the sermon today.
Yeah. What stuck out to me was a really famous and familiar passage. It's Romans 8:28. And what I really have come to grasp over the last, I don't know, few months or whatever, is understand and be encouraged by exactly what Romans 8:28 is saying. Mm-hmm. It is not saying that all things are good. It's saying that all things work out for the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And I thought, he can take anything, and he can take the good, the bad, the ugly, the painful, the destructive, and he can bring good out of that. He can make good out of that.
Yeah.
And so it helps us understand James 1:2-4, because it says, count it all joy when you fall into these various tests. Because why? Why can we take joy? Because we're going through it and it hurts? No, it's because it produces something in us. It produces steadfastness or endurance or perseverance.
Mm.
And we can then allow that to have its full effect, which is maturity and experience and just a deeper understanding of God. And it also explains what 1 Peter 1:5-7 talks about. Like, we, again, rejoicing in our trials and our tribulations, because we know that as we're going through those trials and tribulations, it actually refines us. We're in the refiner's fire.
Yeah.
And when we respond in a godly way, it brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. So that is what's so awesome about Romans 8:28. It explains and helps us to understand James 1 and 1 Peter 1 in a much fuller way. So that was what stuck with me.
Mm, that's so good. I was listening to a podcast that said, like, the Savior that I love ended in a bloody mess. How do I think I'm not going to end in a bloody mess? I think me and Donna talked about this last week, but it was so profound to me to recognize, like, man, the refiner's fire is mandatory in the life of a believer. And anyone who is promised that loving Jesus means that there will be no pain and affliction, they were lied to. And the pain that you're experiencing because things are hard, I just want to invite you that there is actually better news. And the better news is that he's with us in the midst of tribulation.
Yes.
And our eternal hope of peace and comfort is with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be moments of peace and comfort here on earth.
Yeah.
But, like, we're promised pain and tribulation. Mm-hmm. But we actually have the stuff to make it.
Yeah.
We can get through it. And that's something to rejoice in. In a world that can't get through it, we can, because of Christ.
Right. And that's the ultimate victory language. I call it ultimate victory language because it says that no matter what happens to us in this life, it can all be worked out for the good.
Amen.
And then we're in glory with God. And then we see Jesus face to face. So that's what's so cool about it. We have this ultimate victory language that an unbeliever can't believe or even understand until God draws him to himself. And then you can understand these kind of like deeper spiritual thoughts. So it's that's good.
That's so good. Aldi, what stuck out to you?
Oh, man, so many things. But when Pastor Brennan was talking about hurt from the body of Christ is best healed in and through the church, when we see the Corinthian church, how they went through so much, you know, so many things that they went through.
And so much of their own mess.
Yeah.
Like, I think the reality is, like, they probably did experience some persecution, but, like, they were goofballs.
They were, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think of my goofballness, like, I have caused myself a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, okay, like, I can also take light in, like, their goofiness and their, like, mess in hurting one another. God Praise also God. Is speaking to.
Praise God. Yeah, because, you know, we know how we are. And
we're a nightmare.
Thank God. Thank God that, you know, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church because We can tend to lean that way too sometimes, you know. So praise God and praise God for the Roman sevens in the Bible, you know. This is what stuck out was the how God comforts us in our affliction and our pain. I remember one thing that R.C. Sproul said. He says when we are exposing ourselves to First Corinthians kind of love, when our love is patient, our love is kind, when our love is not arrogant and puffed up, when we bear all things and believe all things and hopes all things, we are going to be exposed to some stuff because that is a perfect love.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are striving to try to attain that kind of love, but we'll never get there. But we're going to be exposed to some stuff if we're you know, trying to reach that kind of love.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's very
so good.
yeah very important. Pastor Brennan brought out some great things with that,
you know? And so when we think about the church healing each other and saying, hey, it's not a cookie cutter slap on the wrist, hey, sorry that happened, don't care, you're here now. No, it's looking that pain, looking that hurt and saying, I'm going to call out and say, God hates that. Like when sin's been done to us, I can in his eyes say, no, he's not interested in children being hurt by leaders. He's not interested by people being abused. He's not interested in these things. He hates sin. And so we can call sin and testify, man, praise God, Jesus deals with sin. Mm. And he's the ultimate judge. Amen. That we don't need to be the judges or the juror or the executioner. That's who he is. Amen. He's all of those things.
He's all those things perfectly.
But then we're able to say, hey, Mark, hey, Donna, because their testimony was shared, I don't want the sin done to you to steal. I don't want it to steal the blessing that God wants to work out in you. And that's the temptation is, I've been goofed up.
Done.
I'm done. Yep. I'm done loving. Yep. I'm done trusting. You hear that? You hear that language in people and they say, I tried that Jesus thing. Mm. People were mean. Mm-hmm. Hey, people have been mean to you. Hear a genuine, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hear a genuine, hey, that is not God's heart. His heart is that he's making people that love patiently.
Yeah.
That believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. But let me tell you, you're probably not there. I know we're not there. we're messing things up.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. We're praying that we are being transformed into the image of God day by day, that he promises, the best promise ever is that he's not done with us yet.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about what Audley was saying and what it always reminds me of. I wrote it in one of my Bibles somewhere on the fly leaf or something, that we can't do the one another's in the scriptures unless we expose ourselves to, we make ourselves vulnerable by exposing ourselves and stepping out there and being the one another's to everybody, because we know that's going to come back to bite us. When you put yourself out there like that, you're vulnerable and you're saying, I'm going to do anything I can for you. I'm not going to worry about the consequences or if it's going to come back to bite me. But you can't do that unless you expose yourself to hurt.
Yeah.
You cannot do the one anothering in the scriptures unless you expose yourself and step out there and say, I'm I'm all for Jesus. Yeah. I'm all for his people. Amen. So,
amen. And what a great blessing in the suffering to know that you are sharing in the sufferings of Christ.
Yes.
Scriptures talks right. about you're looking like Christ when you're suffering. Yeah. What a glorious concept.
What an
behold.
Honor that is.
You
yes.
know, that's an
yes.
honor. That's a privilege
yes.
to suffer yeah. for doing good, you mm-hmm. know, suffer yeah. like Christ.
Yeah. yeah.
That's so good.
That's a good one.
Aldi and I were at an evangelism conference yesterday, and I joke, like, when you are with a bunch of evangelists, you recognize, you learn to be honored when you're rebuked, and you learn to be honored when someone makes fun of you or persecutes you. You say, man, I get to look a little bit loyal, like yeah, my Savior on the right. cross. Exactly. And man, oh man, I've suffered so little for his namesake, so little here in America, and I yeah. pray that I become someone who suffers more, not because I want that, but the reality is that obedience does beget suffering.
Yes. Yeah.
And the more I walk with him, and the more there's this boy, his name's Haven, he is a friend of mine, and he said you can grow as fast as you're willing to give up. And it's blown my mind for the past like 5 weeks.
Yeah,
because I just think, like, man, when we get to heaven, we're gonna wish we gave more. We were going to wish we gave more of ourselves. We're going to wish we poured ourselves out for the sake of the body and for the sake of those who don't yet know Christ. And in the order.
Yeah.
I love my brothers and sisters because that is a testimony to the unbelieving right. world that there's a transforming work that happens mm-hmm. in the body. That the way I love Mark and the way I love Audley should say something
yeah.
to the yeah. world who cannot find unity.
Right.
Who is only seeking tolerance.
Yeah. That's
which right. is a shame compared to love. Mm-hmm. And that there's something beautiful. And we talked about before this that there is the universal church and then all of history.
That's right.
Through all of time, I'll get to be with the martyrs in heaven, yeah. praising Christ's name,
yeah.
recognizing I did not experience what they experienced.
Right.
But I get to share in their joy yeah. as they throw their crowns to Christ.
Yeah. And that's the ultimate victory language again, yes. man. I get to walk. Yeah. I get to walk those streets, man.
Yeah. As undeserving as I am.
I'm not going to feel their pain, and they're not going to feel mine. There's not going to be any pain, but I get to walk the streets knowing mm-hmm. what they did. Mm-hmm. And what you were saying was, however much you're willing to put yourself out there is how much you're going to reflect Christ or grow in Christ or be more like conformed into his image. And I was thinking of a song by this guy, Eli, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up to heaven, and he gets his mansion. We all know dwelling places. We can't get into that now. But he gets up to heaven and he goes to Peter. Peter says, well, here's your home. And he goes, wait a minute, that's pretty small. I want the big mansion down the street. And he goes, well, that's all the lumber you sent. And I was like, oh my goodness, I got to send some more lumber.
I got to concentrate on sending my lumber up,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
So it was just a little funny thing I wanted to throw in there.
No, that's good. That's good. Mm. Yeah. And it's a reality that we live for eternal riches. And those eternal riches, just praise and glory to our King.
Yeah.
That we don't live in a works-based faith on the other side.
No.
But there is a beauty to say, man, I don't want to be someone who my Christian life is by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
I want to be someone that was a fully surrendered.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. I want to hear well done.
Yeah. I want to get to heaven weary.
Yeah.
Because I labored long.
Yeah.
And when I throw my arms around Jesus, I take my rest with him.
Yes. Yeah.
Then I'm like, man, it was hard out there, but it was worth it seeing you.
That's right.
But look how much closer I got to you.
Yeah.
So, and that is the key.
You're good.
Yeah.
I had some buddies in high school that got really jacked up by that. And so that's why I say that. They're really confused. They're like, I get this grace thing, but why are they talking about these riches? And a friend of mine, Jill, who is a mentor of mine, we were like, it all gets tossed to the feet of Jesus anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just praise we get to give back to him, which is such a joy though.
Yeah.
And it's to say, hey, I do hope that, like, I got a crown full of jewels, not so that I look better, but that I get to send the most precious things to the feet of my Lord.
I give that as a gift, mm-hmm. as an offering. That's cool.
That's good. That's good. All right. So I'd love to hear, Aldi, what encouraged you about the passage preached today?
Oh, man. One thing that Pastor Brennan said that stuck out, that encouraged me, was when he said, you can never out-sin the grace of God. Mm-hmm. So if you've been hurt against mm-hmm. or you've hurt someone in the church, grace is able to cover that sin. And of course, we don't say that, you know, we purposely and willfully sin so that
grace may abound. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, if I can use this example,
mm-hmm.
if sin weighs 500 billion pounds, grace outweighs that sin quadruple, right. infinite, right. if I could say infinite, right? Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he just goes down the list of all created things that could come in between our relationship with God, and nothing, nothing. I mean, the fact that Jesus said in John 16, he says, I will build my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell would not override it. So if Jesus is not going to give up on his church, God's people, the arrogance of us to think that we can give up on our brothers and sisters, and that's not to dismiss each other's pain or anything like that, but the commitment, the undying love that Jesus has for his people, we ought to have that same love, you know. If a brother, if I'm reaching out to a brother or sister during the week and they don't call me back once, they don't call me back twice, keep going. Yeah. Keep calling that brother or sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should not let those kind of things come in between our relationship between our brothers and sisters.
It's so good.
Unity is so important. Yeah. Unity in the body of Christ is so key.
Amen.
That's good. So key. That's good. Mark, what hit us with your encouragement?
What encouraged me most, what stuck out, was when Pastor Brendan was talking about don't let your hurt prevent you from healing.
Yeah.
And I think the key to that is like understanding pain again, and like understand that Christ can perfectly understand our pain, and the fact that we can't ever fully understand his pain tells us that he went through everything and anything we could ever go through and more. So if we can just understand, and why did Jesus go through that pain? That was for us. That was for the body. That was for those believers that are going to be his inheritance and we're going to inherit. And so he went through that for us. So we're understanding his pain, and then we can understand, dispels any myth that he doesn't care for us.
Yeah.
He did what he did. He suffered everything he did. He even condescended to come to this earth as a baby and very
lonely
and he suffered everything we do. And we can't even comprehend the degree to which he suffered those things, or we can never suffer on the level he suffered at. So when we say, well, why did he do that? Well, he did that for his bride, right? So then that proves that he cares for us. So forget the fact that you think that he doesn't care, he doesn't understand. Well, both those things are completely wrong. Completely wrong. And I'm saying this for encouragement. I know it doesn't sound like I'm always encouraging, but look, man, you don't understand what he went through, what the Father gave up, what the Son gave up, and what the Son suffered. But understand that it proves two things, that he understands perfectly what we're going through, and he did it to prove he cares for us. So both those myths are dispelled now. And it proves the goodness of God, because we can see blessing coming up out of the ashes of our pain and our suffering and our hurt.
Yeah.
And then we're able, and then that blessing that's coming up is going to be what he uses for us to help others that are going through things down the road.
Yeah. I was listening to someone explain that, like, the hurt that we experience is the manure that allows real things to grow.
That's pretty good.
And so it's just this recognition, and they used some more crass language, but it was like very helpful to say, man, the crap that people put on us, man, oh man, it is just the manure that will grow God's goodness, because he's the mastermind that makes ashes beauty.
It's awesome.
He takes broken things and he makes them more beautiful than their original intent. And the reality is that, just to talk about, like, we're jars, broken jars of clay.
Yeah.
And through it, we have this hidden treasure in it. And to say, man, he just chose bad. He chose some bad jars of clay in us. But he said, man, oh man, I want those jars of clay.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose the humble to shame the wise.
Yeah. And think about jars of clay. A good friend of ours, Kathy Landwehr, wrote a song called, I don't know, it's about the jars of clay. But she said that, like you were saying, God puts us back together. And he puts us back together. He leaves those little thin spots where all those breaks happen, where he put us back together. And then the blessing is, that's how our light, the light of Christ, shines out. It shines out of our brokenness.
Amen.
Yeah.
And well, in his healing, obviously, but I mean, he allows the scars to remain, is my point. And then that light shines out. The light of Christ shines out of that. It's just a beautiful story.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And the lie that we can be tempted to believe is that, hey, like, it's not worth it. The pain's not worth it. And we were sharing to say, like, the pain for the unbeliever who's been hurt mm-hmm. in any capacity by Christians, by non-Christians, mm-hmm. is that their pain isn't purposeful because only more pain is coming. Mm,
that's right.
Judgment is coming to say, all the pain that I experience is purposeful. Mm-hmm. Every hurt you can do, all you can do is make me more like Christ. That's all you can do. Right. And there's that power language, yeah. that victory language mm-hmm. that says, there's nothing you can do to make me not more like Christ. And mm-hmm. even my sin, he can redeem.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. That I can be broken, big, bad, broken. Mm-hmm. And I can still be broken as a believer. I can harm others. I did harm others.
Yeah.
I've hurt another believer in ways that hurt me, that I mourn. But the recognition is, hey, Christ can heal that in them. And Christ can heal that in me. And I've asked for my forgiveness, and I've received my forgiveness from them and from Christ. However, we still mourn that. We don't long to hurt one another.
Right.
Like that's not our desire. Right. And so, friends, I would love to close with what's our challenge for maybe a young believer mm-hmm. who's been hurt, or maybe a friend of ours who's let some joy be stolen, some goodness be stolen. What's our encouragement for them?
Amen. I would say for those who are attending church, even if you've not come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, don't run out of church when church is over. Get close next to a brother or sister who's been walking with the Lord for some time. Talk to them. They've been walking with the Lord, and they'll be able to give you comfort in your times of distress and pain. And they can also lead you to the God of all comfort mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to show you that a comfort that will not fail, a comfort mm-hmm. that is purposeful and meaningful, you know. And yeah, I would encourage them to you know, get close with a brother or sister, or even for a Christian, a baby yeah. Christian in the faith.
Yeah.
For them to, you know, fellowship, you know, you can be sitting on the same pew with someone who's going through the mm-hmm. exact circumstance you're going through. And, you know, just be intentional about fellowship.
That's so good.
You know?
Yeah.
And Pastor Brendan was also talking about, don't let your hurt and pain for those who are lost keep you from seeking God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't let that keep you from seeking God.
Yeah. Right. That's so good. That's so good.
And mine would be just don't waste your hurt, especially for a new believer, somebody that's been not even born again yet, haven't received Christ as their Savior. My point is, don't waste your hurt. You alluded to it a little bit earlier. You know, you've gone through pain as an unbeliever. If you're an unbeliever, you've gone through pain, you've gone through hurt, and it's going to continue, like, throughout your life. Mm-hmm. But you got to be able to trust that Jesus knows best, and Jesus is here to save you. And as you go through hurt the rest of your life, at least now you're doing it with a proper perspective of what that hurt and what that pain can do in your life. And when I say don't waste your hurt, and when Brendan was talking about don't waste your hurt, that means don't get balled up or paralyzed by bitterness and resentment and even hatred or whatever could be and be paralyzed by that. You not wasting your hurt means you go out and you do, you help others. And then you're healed by that.
Mm.
You're healed by other believers. You're healed by other Christians that are coming alongside. But you're also healed when you feel like you need to be ministered to. That's the best time to get out and minister, man. Mm. Because ministering to others is what heals the hurt. It heals the yeah. pain. So that's what it means when we talk about don't waste your hurt. That means put it to, like, positive use. Because that's what God says in Romans 8 and James 1 and 1 Peter 1. That's what it's talking about. It's being put to good. It's being used for good. So mm-hmm. don't waste your hurt.
Yeah. That's so good.
Our comfort is on a loan, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, we're to loan out comfort to others. Our comfort is on loan. And
that's good.
That's good, brother. Others.
That is good. All right. I'm gonna close this in prayer.
Yep.
And then we're gonna land our plane. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are the ultimate comforter. Lord, that you draw near to us when we are hurt, and you show us how you are transforming that pain so we don't continue to transmit that pain. Mm. Lord, that we need you to come as the divine doctor
yes.
to take away the infection and to infuse goodness so that goodness may flow out of us.
Yes.
Lord, we are being transformed from the inside out. And so, God, we just ask that you would do that work in us, that we'd be the kinds of people that testify of your healing goodness through the body of Christ. And Lord, that we would walk inviting others into reconciliation, having the hard conversations of forgiveness and extending forgiveness. God, we want to be those people. So we ask for your help because we need it. And Jesus, we ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers, what a joy to have you. Thanks for being on.
Thank you
for inviting us.
Awesome. Yeah, of course.
It's a good time.
Yeah, friends, I just ask that this is a blessing to you, that you'd share it with someone in your life, and that we pray that God works in your life. Have an amazing rest of your week.
Amen.